Okay, it's kickoff time. Now, a long, long, very long time ago, back when I played football, I was on the kickoff team. And on the kickoff team, you are lined up and you are full of optimism. Every kickoff, I could just feel butterflies in my stomach. And when the referee blew that one long whistle, woo! Those butterflies, what I had to do, though, before I could do what I needed to do in the game was to kick off those butterflies, look to where the ball was going, and head in the direction of that ball. The kickoff meant that everything that you had been working up for all week was about to take place. And for that moment, you had the same score as the other team, didn't matter how good or how bad they were. Now, every now and then, God calls us to be on his kickoff team in some new adventure for the kingdom of God. And when it starts, we may not know what the final outcome is going to be, but we ought to be glad to be out there on the field on the starting team. Now, that kickoff team up here with the enthusiasm they had, I tell you, I got excited. I almost wrote a check right then and there. But the Spirit spoke to me real quick, and I stopped. But I almost did. All right, Pastor Toby, let me preach this sermon. Now, when God does a kickoff, we have to look for the direction of where the Spirit is moving, and we have to start kicking things off in our lives in order to follow the Spirit's leading. Now, God kicked off a new thing in Glenville 48 years ago. It happened when he called a group of people to move beyond being scattered individuals to rise up and become a church in this place. Now, of those who answered that call 48 years ago, five of those on that original kickoff team are still among us in the game. They have been playing for 48 years. They are Eileen Moffitt, Ann Moore, Lily Jackson, Juanita McGowan, and Sarah Williams. We got Lily here this morning. We got Eileen. Is Ann here today? Y'all stand up, ladies. Stand up, stand up. 48 years on the same team for the Lord. Pray. Oh, there's Ann all the way there in the back. All right. Yeah, I see Ann. She's over there in the corner. Ann, wave your hand one more time for those who couldn't see you back there. Okay. We thank God for you all. Since then, many others like yourselves have come and joined our church family. Many people today that started with us are in heaven. Many of them are in ministries in other churches, all because of the work that God has been doing in this place for 48 years. We thank God for the legacy they built and the legacy upon which we continue to build. Now, when you read the scriptures, one of the tragedies that often happens when God does a great move among God's people is that it often does not survive the generation that saw it. It's like when that generation passes off, the people just kind of sink back into doing things they ought not to have done. And the next generation would seek its own comfort, slowly invest its life into other things, and before long, God's claim upon the lives of the people and for their existence would be forgotten. Now, in the book of Haggai, and we thank you, Joseph, for doing such a valiant job. And we thank you, Marvin, for knowing when to weasel out of a difficult situation. But together, you got us through. Now, in the book of Haggai, the people of God had been living a very rebellious lifestyle. And after many, many years of trying to get them to change, God let his people do their own thing. God just said, okay, y'all don't want to listen. Don't listen. Go do what you want to do. Now, before they came back in Haggai, God had warned his people, saying, listen, if y'all don't change, the Babylonian army are going to come and they are going to destroy this place, and you are going to go away into captivity. And the people refused to believe that that was going to happen. They said, we got the temple here. There's no way God would allow this. Well, the Babylonians did come, just like God said. They burned the city. They tore down the city walls, and they destroyed God's temple. And the people were led away to Babylon, where they stayed for 70 years. Now, after you've been disciplined for about that long, you start listening to God once again. Well, after several decades of captivity, the people began to kick off the false gods they had worshipped, and they began to cry out to the God that they had known, the God of their fathers and mothers. And God, in his great mercy, had mercy upon them. And after 70 years, he touched the heart of King Cyrus, and King Cyrus gave a decree, and he said, anybody from the land of Israel who would like to go home and rebuild the temple of their God may do so. And not only that, you can take all the gold and the silver that we took out of the temple back with you so that you can do what God requires you to do. Now, the people were delighted with the news, and they kicked off the Babylonian yoke, and they headed for Jerusalem. And when they got there, they arrived with such joy. They immediately started to rebuild the temple out of gratitude for God for giving them such a great deliverance. You ever had an experience like that where you said, God, if you just get me out of this mess, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. And then you got out of that mess and you did X, Y, and maybe Z ain't so necessary after all. And then after a while, you was just doing X. And before long, you was just thinking about possibly doing X one day. Well, that's what happened to God's people. And they immediately forgot God's faithfulness, and they stopped working on the temple and started working on themselves instead. 18 years after they had gotten back, they had reached a certain level of prosperity, and they were content because they had built beautiful homes for themselves, but had allowed the temple not only to go unfinished, but that thing was beginning to fall into disrepair all again. Now, we like to think and say that, you know, God does not care what something looks like. God only looks at what's on the inside. And that's true to an extent when we first come to know God. When a person cries out to God for that first time, God does not look at their outward appearance. Doesn't matter if the person got on rags or designer clothes. Doesn't matter if the person is addicted to drugs or to fame. Doesn't matter if the person is a prostitute or a president. All of them need the same Savior, Jesus Christ, as we need in our lives. When God comes into our lives, a change takes place on the inside that eventually causes things to look different on the outside. We kick off old things we used to do, and our goal is to offer God the best of what we have to offer. Let me ask you this. Let's suppose you had some oatmeal, some three-day-old chicken, some fresh T-bone steaks in the refrigerator, and you knew that somebody you admired, somebody you loved, was coming over for dinner. How many of you would want to serve the steaks to that person? Let me look at y'all, because I know whose house not to come over. Okay, most of you are going to be eager to serve those steaks to that person. How many of you would say to the person, you know, I got some steaks in the refrigerator, but I figure this oatmeal ought to fill you up just as good as those steaks would? Now, most of us aren't going to say that to somebody we love and admire. Why? Because most of us are loving and caring and generous people. A few of us are stingy, but most of us are not. We know that what we have to offer says a lot about how we feel about them and what we think about them. Now, our theme is striving for excellence, excelling in giving. How many of you know God has been a God of excellence to us? How many of you know God did not wait for us to become good people and started to love us? Scripture says he loved us while we were yet sinners so that we could get saved. How many of you know God didn't go over out in a field to look for something to die for us and said, "Yeah, that old beat up goat over there ought to do the job for him. Hopefully it will." How many of you know he didn't do that? It said he gave his one and only son to die for us. How many of you know when we blew it by not living up to our level of newfound faith, God didn't go by and cast us by the side of the road and say, "Yo, grateful, dirty rebel"? How many of you glad he didn't say that? How many of you know instead he saw us over there in the ditch and said, "Child, if you don't get up from there, come on here, my son. Come on here, my daughter. Let's get back on the road and walk together again." Now, when you serve that kind of a God, you ought to want to be striving for excellence in your relationship to him and be willing to kick off anything that would hinder your walk. Our campaign theme is excelling in our giving. How many of you know we serve a God that excels in giving? How many of you have prayed for something today? You did it, why? Because you believe that God is a generous God. Have you ever been praying and praying and praying and said, "Oops, wait a minute, that was 11 things. I don't want to go over the limit." No, you don't do that because you know God says, "Ask whatever you will and keep on." Why? Because our God is a generous, a giving, a God that's able to supply all of our needs. God's word tells us in 2 Corinthians 8:7, "But just as you excel in everything in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Why are we launching this campaign? Because we committed ourselves to strive for excellence as a church. We are striving for excellence in our homes, excellence in our lives, and excellence in anything else we associate the name of Christ with, including our building. I want you to know, God does care about the way our building and property looks, just as he cared about the temple in Haggai's day. Our building ought to be the best that it can be based on the blessings that God has poured into us. Not somebody else, into us. Now, it was 10 years ago that we launched our New Life campaign. And what did our New Life campaign do? It gave us new members. It gave us a new dedication to follow Christ. It gave us one of the finest looking sanctuaries and updated sanctuaries in the city of Cleveland. It happened because we came together to make it happen, to be prepared to enter into the 21st century of ministry. Now, in 2 years, we are going to be celebrating our 50th anniversary as a church. Thanks to the generation of Ann, Lily, Eileen, Sarah, and Juanita, we are serving God here today. Now, you three ladies, it would be nice if y'all would stick around for at least 3 more years so that on the 50th anniversary, we could just spoil y'all like there's nobody's business. So, y'all do not have permission to go to heaven for for at least 2.5 years. All right, so we're praying for you. Our campaign is in part our way of saying thank you for being obedient to God and blessing us with this congregation. Now, our campaign is going to last for 2 years to end with our 50th year celebration as a church. Today, we're 48. We got 2 more years to go. Now, our campaign is going to involve making needed repairs to our building that need to be improved. Now, first of all, there is the parking lot. It's hard to get excited about making sacrifices for a parking lot. It's really hard to realize it when you realize a parking lot costs $30,000. Let's say that together. $30,000. Praise God. We done got it out of our system. But let's put it in perspective. Drive up and down East 105th Street, and you will see many churches and many parking lots. And I want you to know this. Our parking lot is the worst looking parking lot between St. Clair and Superior. The asphalt is broken up. The grass grows through the cracks. Each winter, each summer when we're out there trying to cut the grass out of the cracks, each winter the snow plows do more and more damage to it. Our insurance company suggested we repair it before someone trips on the holes and we get sued. Rufus, don't you push anybody out there today. Our parking lot has been left behind by us for too long. Yet, it is the gateway to our church. Many of our visitors see it before they see us. Our parking lot testifies 24 hours a day to people of what we think about our position